What is salvation? Is it a spectacular moment, or is it a lifelong process? What are the requirements for obtaining it? Find out next on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Greetings, everyone. Many millions of Bible believers do not really know what salvation is. It's a mystery to them. Herbert Armstrong used to say that, and said it often, he, of course, being a great educator, said that salvation is education, or you could say a lifelong education. We have to be saved spiritually, and we have to understand all about physical Israel and spiritual Israel if we're going to be able to comprehend what salvation is all about. But the Bible tells us we have to get a real biblical education about what is salvation. Get it right out of the Bible. That's what God wants us to do, and if we fail to do that, we're going to miss out on some of the most inspiring and moving and stirring scriptures in all the Bible. The Apostle Paul knew that salvation is education, and he made that very clear. It was explicit in so many of the verses in Romans 9 through chapter 11. There's a lot about that, and I'll go through those this morning. Salvation is not one big spectacular event, as many believe. It just is not. Salvation is a continual process that occurs throughout your life. You continue to educate yourself and learn more deeply what salvation is, and learn to repent if you're failing to obey those wonderful directions that God gives you. But it all begins with the Holy Spirit of God. Romans 9 verse 1 says, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Spirit. So we have to have the Holy Spirit. Then verse 4, notice this, who are Israelites? To whom pertains the adoption that should read sonship? Here's a scripture saying, well, look, that the sonship, that is being born into the family of God or reborn into the family of God, it's only for Israel. So we have to understand it. We have to be an Israelite if we're going to receive that sonship. That is salvation. Then it goes on to say, and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises. To whom, let's say, denotes possession. In other words, to the Israelite belongs sonship, glory, covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, and the promises. You talk about an education. This, you have to have that education to understand what salvation is. Just reading those different points that we have to learn in subjects we have to learn to understand what salvation is all about. And it is about the family of God, sonship, all about God's family being born into the family or kingdom of God. Who are the Israelites? A lot of people don't know. Our book on the United States and Britain in Prophecy will explain all of that to you. We have to know a lot about Israel. And we also have to know a lot about the subject of salvation. What is it really? The sonship pertains to Israel. It only pertains to Israel. So that is something we need to keep in mind. And only those people are saved. But just think about all those other subjects, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service, and the promises. I mean, that is some education. That is a profound education of your Bible. And you have to know that to be saved. That's what your Bible says. And we need to look at that very closely. God chose Israel to teach us about salvation. The Bible is a book about Israel. Anciently, it was just one nation. One nation. And sometimes they would obey, but most of the time they didn't. And they didn't really teach the lesson that God wanted them to teach. Not only themselves, but of course the whole world. They were there for an example to the world and didn't really ever understand that like they should have. But all of this is really a mystery to Bible believers. I mean, most of them. And you can check me out on this and prove whether or not I'm telling you the truth right out of your own Bible. We have to understand these verses. Verse 5 in the Revised Standard Version says that to them belong the patriarchs, and their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, God who is over all, blessed forever. Amen. So Christ is from the line of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It all pertains to our salvation. How does it relate to that? Well, we'll see it as more of it as we go along. Verse 6, not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Now, God means by that, well, look, this is not just for Israel. This is for all mankind. But we have to understand why God chose Jerusalem and Israel. Why did He do that? Because it's all a part of His master plan, and He's going to build everything through spiritual Jerusalem or His church. If you look at Galatians 6 and verse 16, it says, and as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy upon the Israel of God. The Israel of God. Well, what is the Israel of God? It's the Israel that is spiritual, and God takes great pleasure in that. That's the epitome of His creation. Recreating Himself in man, building Himself a family of sons, and some of them will even be the very bride of Jesus Christ. But you'll see that we all have to become spiritual Israel. Everybody has to become Israel, and even spiritual Jews. Looking at it spiritually, you can see that in Revelation 3 and verse 9. People are often anti-Semitic or maybe anti-Israel or that type thing. But you better look into your Bible and see what it says about that, because Israel today and always has been a lot more than the Jews in the Middle East. America and Britain are a part of Israel. And so are the Jews in the Middle East. Verse 9, notice that. For this is the word of promise. At this time will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. What is he talking about Sarah for? Well, Abraham was 99 when he had Isaac. Sarah was age 90. And that's a miracle. It's a forerunner of our spiritual begettal. It's what it's all about. Verse 10, and not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac. So God had a hand in selecting Rebekah for Isaac. Abraham is a type of God the Father. Isaac is a type of Jesus Christ. And Rebekah is a type of the church. So we must fall in love with Christ before we meet Him. Just like Rebekah did to Isaac. She fell in love with him before she met him. And that's a lesson for us spiritually. We have to fall in love with God before we meet Him. Now that's a beautiful, beautiful lesson of the Bible. And it is about our marriage to Jesus Christ. The first fruits, those called out before Christ's second coming, are the first fruits of God, and they are going to marry Christ and help Christ bring all humanity into His family. That's the master plan. Revelation 19 and verse 7 says that his wife has made herself ready. Genesis 12 and verse 1. Now the Eternal has said unto Abram, get you out of your country, from your kindred and from your father's house, unto a land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be blessed. Now that great nation is Israel, of course. It's Israel. Now let me read you a little quote from what Herbert Armstrong wrote in his book, Mystery of the Ages. And so now, as God had started the whole world with one man, he started his own peculiar nation in the world from one single man, Abraham. That is Israel, as the world which has strayed far from God, and the blessings of God worship and rule was started with one man who rebelled against God and rejected his rule. So God's own flesh-born nation, please note that, so God's own flesh-born nation from which is to be reborn the kingdom of God, that one flesh-born nation of Israel is going to be reborn as the kingdom of God or the family of God. That is super profound when you think about it. You see, we have to understand Israel and what it's all about and how it leads us to spiritual Israel. And one of the most wonderful, inspiring outcomes that you'll ever even get close to reading about, this wonderful truth of your future if you are saved. But again, salvation is a mystery to this world for the most part. And so all that was started with one man, and we have to make sure that we are reborn into that kingdom of God from the flesh-born nation. It's about being reborn. Now, you know, if you stop and think about that and all that it's talking about here, you can see why salvation is education. I mean, it's the most in-depth education you'll ever get because it comes from God Himself. And it makes any other education seem like it's almost worthless by comparison. So, only spiritual Israel is saved. Only God's church, spiritual Israel, receives salvation. If you look at Isaiah 66 and verse 8, it says that nation is born at once. It's that spiritual nation that God has been working to prepare through the first fruits for His second coming, the Jesus Christ second coming, when He will marry that church and they will share the very throne of David with Him, and they'll help bring the world into the family of God. And everybody will become spirit beings if they want that wonderful reward and gift. And God will certainly give it to them, but they are saved by being reborn. Now, when Abraham was told all this, God really asked a lot of Abraham. He was doing quite well in Babylon. I mean, he could have said, well, look, this is the center of world commerce. Why should I depart? It said Abraham departed when God told him to take him to Canaan. He could have said, well, why should I depart this area? Why should I go to Canaan where they are sort of like barbarians there? Why do that? He could have stated all things from his human reasoning, and he could have, but he didn't really quibble about anything. He didn't resist at all. It just says, so Abraham departed. You can see why he knew so much. He was the father of Israel, but he's becoming the father of spiritual Israel because he's the father of the faithful as well. What growth there was in this man. because of the way he just did what God said. He didn't question, he didn't argue, he just did it. He knew that God was so awesome, he had to know what he was talking about. And he proved, of course, that God was the God of the Bible and was real. But what an inspiring example for all of us. God had chosen Abraham to be the patriarch of the nation of Israel. And that was the congregation of Israel then, or the church in the Old Testament. But there is duality. That leads us into it's really a type of the spiritual church in the New Testament. So, that is spiritual Israel. Those are the people. The word church actually is from the Greek ekklesia, which means called out ones. God called them out himself. The Father called out his children, whom he had been studying and getting acquainted with perhaps for months, certainly maybe even years, before he ever called them. He got to know those people and then called them out and wanted to use them as a little remnant in the midst of Israel and all the world, this little remnant who would understand salvation and understand that salvation is education and that you have to learn that today to be able to teach it to the whole world and the world tomorrow. It's such a beautiful plan, it's hard to fathom how anybody could turn away from it. Well, anyhow, physical Israel was just a forerunner of the spiritual, and all of it had to do with the education about salvation. I just wanted to read you one more quote here from Mr. Armstrong's book. He says there were two phases to the promises God made to Abraham. The one purely material and national, the other spiritual and individual. Now let me show you something here where virtually the whole biblical world, the people that believe in the Bible, fall into error. Notice verse 3 of Genesis 12. And I will bless them that bless you and curse him that curses you, and in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. In you shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now let me read again one more quote from Mr. Armstrong. I'll have to rush through this. Here there are twofold promises. He's going to make him a great nation. That's race. That's Israel. And people overlook that. Now it also is all families of the earth are going to be blessed. That is grace. Salvation is coming through Israel and the Jews. And of course, our father Abraham will be right there under Jesus Christ, guiding and helping all of us to understand this, all of the people in the world, certainly. But you see, there, right there, is where the people in the world make a big, big mistake. They see the part about the Messiah coming and grace through him, but they don't see about the race Israel. They don't see that, which is a prelude to everything. They don't see it. They don't understand it. But these are all dual prophecies, and they just simply overlook that, and they don't grasp spiritual salvation because of it. There is a lot of education here to learn about what salvation is. A lot of education. Remember, Mr. Armstrong said, quote, God's own flesh-born nation is to be reborn into the kingdom of God or the family of God. Reborn. Now that... Would you say that's a key to salvation or a part of salvation? Well, that is salvation. And it's the education we need to be saved. You can't be saved without that education. We must receive salvation through spiritual Israel. So there's race and there's grace. Race, Israel, grace, salvation through Jesus Christ. That's where it all is going to end for those who make the right choice. All of it. But you see, God there knows that and calls people, scattered people all over this earth, so they may become Abraham's children spiritually. He is the father of the faithful. He teaches us how to trust God. And what a powerful lesson there is in that. Well, Paul goes on to talk about wanting Israel to be saved. And he says today and in the past and in the future, it's a prophecy too, that they have a zeal, but not according to the knowledge or knowledge of God. All Israel he's talking about. They didn't get this. They didn't really get the message themselves. And even spiritual Israel today, most of them have lost this message and lost their way en route to salvation. Well, he said, verse 3, that for they being ignorant of God's righteousness are going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Well, verse 9 says that it talks about that if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, that you shall be saved. And again, this is grossly twisted today. They say, well, all you have to do is believe. But there are all kinds of scriptures to say, well, look, you'd better believe and have works, or your faith is dead. You've got to have a living faith that does what God says. Christ said, live by every word of God. That's what salvation is all about. The word of God. The Bible is a book about Israel and how we must understand all that. It goes on to say in verse 10 that you have to continue confessing with his lips and so be saved, and continue believing, continue repenting and growing. It isn't something that just happens with one spectacular event. Now, then Paul talks about there's no difference between Jew and Greek. No, there's no, God is no respecter of persons. What he's going to do is bring all the world, the Gentiles, into Israel, spiritual Israel, just like the true church is today. It's made up of all kinds of nationalities. It's spiritual Israel. Soon the whole world is going to be spiritual Israel. But you see, again, the people certainly get that all confused, and they don't understand that salvation is a process, a lifelong process. And we have a lot to learn, as I think I've shown you today. Paul says you've got to have a preacher, a true minister of God that will teach you the truth. And then faith comes by the hearing of the word of God. God will give you more faith if you just ask him. And he'll give you faith by studying his word. And he'll give you faith as you step out and act on what you know. There are three ways that you can build a strong faith in your life. Paul goes on to say that these Gentiles have to be grafted in. The natural tree, as he calls it, the natural olive tree, is Israel. But they've rebelled, and God says, okay, well, anybody can be grafted into that natural olive tree, any Gentile. And so that is God's plan, to graft them all in. He even did a lot of that through the Apostle Paul. Many of them were a part of the first fruits because Paul was a man sent to the Gentiles. In verse 27 of chapter 9, you can read where God says there's a little remnant that is left to make sure that the world understands about salvation. And they're not ignorant of this subject. It's called a mystery in Romans 11 and verse 25. That's what Paul calls it. But he concludes by saying, for God has concluded them all in unbelief that he might have mercy on all. Many of them don't believe, and God planned it that way so he could have mercy on them and resurrect them later and show them what he's teaching about his plan. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God, Paul says. Oh, the depth of the wisdom of God. Until next week, this is Gerald Flurry. Goodbye, friends.
What is salvation? Is it a spectacular moment, or is it a lifelong process? What are the requirements for obtaining it? Many professing Christians sincerely believe they have been born again, but do not understand what Jesus meant by those words. The true answer is not only surprising, it is startling. Request our free booklet, Just What Do You Mean, Born Again, to grasp the truth about this life-changing subject. Jesus Christ came to earth with a hope-filled message about the coming kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Is it something within our hearts? Is it already here on earth today? Can human beings be a part of it? Find the answers to these important questions in our booklet, Just What Do You Mean, Born Again? You'll also receive a free subscription to the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course, which contains lessons about salvation and the Holy Spirit. This course is now available both online and in print. Join over 100,000 other subscribers who have learned the lasting relevance of the Holy Bible. Build your foundation of biblical understanding through 36 lessons of simple scriptural explanations of core Bible doctrines. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request Just What Do You Mean, Born Again, and a subscription to the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629.